Hi there, it's Dr. Scott Nicholson here with today's lecture on Eon Games. Now, Eon Games is a company that was around from 77 until the early 80s, and they did a few games, but they really were ahead of their time in the sort of games they were producing. The first game from 77 was Cosmic Encounter, the first version. They put out about 9 expansions over the next few years, and a number of other companies have released it since that time. West End Games put out a version. This is the version I probably played hundreds of games of when I was in college. And this played 2 to 6 players. And it had a lot of the stuff from the old Eon game. Mayfair picked it up, put out Cosmic Encounter. They also did more Cosmic Encounter. This also had a lot of the stuff that came out in these games, a lot of alien powers and a lot of things going on. And they did some nice things laying out the turn order and helping to be more specific with the rules. Then Avalon Hill got it, and they decided to strip out all the awesome. They made it very pretty with nice plastic spaceships, but they made it only a 4-player game. They really reduced the number of aliens that come in the game. And really, if you've only played this version of it, well, you haven't seen the full craziness that can be Cosmic Encounter. And so that brings us to today's episode of Board Games with Scott on the new release by Fantasy Flight of Cosmic Encounter. Hi there! Welcome to Board Games with Scott. This is a show where I take a game and explain it and lightly review it. My hope is to help you decide if it's a game you might want to purchase. Now, today I'm excited. I'm talking about one of my top 10 games of all time. Probably one of the games I've played more often than anything else, and that's Cosmic Encounter. It has just been re-released by Fantasy Flight Games. And I know a lot of people out there who are like me, who have played this game a lot as they've grown into gaming, are really hoping that Fantasy Flight did a good job with it as compared to Avalon Hill's production, where they left out a lot of the really cool stuff. And I'm here to tell you, yes, they did a good job. I'm very happy. I'm very pleased with what they've done with this. I think you will be as well. But if you've never seen Cosmic Encounter before, that's fine. The purpose of this show is to teach you the game. So if you're an experienced player, well, you know, you've heard it before, although you may not have. What I found interesting is I read the rule book. They've done a lot of work in the rules and given a lot of examples to clarify some things that earlier were always points of contention. I'd find when I would play Cosmic with another group, the first thing we'd have to do is talk about the rules everyone played with, because there were some common rules that were interpreted in very different ways. So I'm going to present the rules here as Fantasy Flight have presented them. So if you hear something and you say, hey, I don't remember doing that in the old versions of Cosmic, well, maybe you didn't. But Fantasy Flight's done a really good job with the rule book in talking through a lot of cases and giving you good examples and really clarifying the rules to the game. So without further ado, let's dive right into this box and see what's inside. So what comes with the game? Well, you get a rule book, and they've done a good job with the rule book on giving you not only the rules for the game, but examples in areas that have typically been confusing to Cosmic Encounter players. So good job with the rules. Each player gets a set of 5 planets in their color, as well as little spaceships, 20 little spaceships, and the spaceships stack very nicely because that's going to happen during the game. You're going to be flying in stacks of spaceships to make attacks, so they did a good job with that. There are 5 colors available in the game, very attractive and very distinct. You have the void, which sits in the middle, the cosmic toilet, where dead ships go and wait to be flushed out through the Mobius tubes. You have a score track from 0 to 5. Each player has a little marker that you can use to mark how many points they have. That's a little silly, to be honest, because you only play it to 5 points. You've got this thing, which is the gate that you're going to use to warp in and destroy your opponents. Very nice design on it. And traditionally, this has just been very plain, so it's nice to have that be all excited. You've got a number of types of cards. You've got encounter cards, which you're going to use as your typical cards you play during a combat. These come in a few flavors. You've got numbers on them, so things like 4 and 40. They go up to 40. Reinforcement cards, which are number like +1, +2, +3. Artifacts that are special abilities. And then there are flares. Each flare corresponds to 1 special power in the game. So you're not going to use all of these in a game. You're only going to use 10 of these in each game. And then technologies, which are an optional rule, but I'll talk about it here because I think they add quite a bit to the game. And then you have the Destiny deck, which I'll talk about a bit later, but it tells you who you're going to attack in each turn. And then you have the alien powers. The alien powers have a nice illustration at the top. Here's the virus. Ooh, the virus is in the game. They've got a color at the top, which tells you whether it's a green for basic, for beginning players, yellow for intermediate, red for players that understand the game. You have information about the alien power, which is good. One thing they've done is they've used the word use in bold print to indicate something that can be canceled by another card called a cosmic zap. So if there's a power not written with that bold use, then you can't cancel it. It tells you when you can use the power, if you're a main player or an ally. It tells you if your power is mandatory or optional. And then it has the stages of the game at the bottom, so it's a little reference sheet. And then they've highlighted the one that when you can use this power. And so they've put a lot of information on here. And so during the game, you'll put this in front of you so that you can see the text. The other players will see a brief thing. So this says, for example, multiplies an attack. That is the brief concept, and this is all the text about it. Some of the powers are new. Some of the powers we have seen before. How does this all work together? Well, let's talk about that in the flow of play. So before you play, let's talk about setup. Each player takes their five planets of a color. They put four ships on each of the five planets. You then deal to each player two flare cards. So these, you shuffle them up, and each player gets two flare cards. Now, each flare corresponds to one alien power. So the player will take the two flare cards. They will find the two alien powers that correspond to the flare cards. So you want to keep the alien powers in alphabetical order. They find their two. They make a choice between the two. They're going to keep the alien power they want. They'll discard the other alien power, and then they put both of the flare cards that they saw into the deck. If you're playing with fewer than five people, you then add enough flare cards chosen at random to take that up to a total of 10 flare cards in the deck. So when you're ready to play, you're going to have 10 flare cards in the deck. Each player has seen two of them, and each player's alien power has one matching flare card somewhere in that deck. And give each player a hand of eight cards. And then you're ready to play. Now, if you're playing with the technologies, that's an optional rule. The other thing you'll do is you'll give each player two technology cards. They will choose the one they want to keep, and they will discard the other one, and then that will be, they'll put that technology card face down in front of them. That does not count against their hand, and then you're ready to play if you're playing with the technologies. So how does the game work? Well, the goal of the game is to establish five colonies on other people's planets. And so as the game goes on, you're going to have a chance to establish colonies. Now, what is a colony? A colony is defined as one or more ships that you have on a planet somewhere. And so if purple was here and blue was here, you can have different people coexisting, then purple would have one of the colonies they need to win. You're going to start with five home planets, but you can lose them throughout the game. On your turn, you will draw a card from the Destiny deck, and the Destiny deck will tell you which player is the defender for that turn. So on your turn, you're on offense. The Destiny deck will show red, which means you have to go over to red system and attack red on one of those planets in red system. And so that's what you'll do. You'll pick a planet and you'll attack it. When you'll fly in some spaceships to attack it, and then both players can ask for allies. You'll each play a card, you'll see who has the highest total, and if you win, you'll get to establish a colony there, and you'll kill off the red pieces. They'll go out into the warp. All right, so I've set the game up. We'll say we have a three-player game. Again, each player will put four ships on each of their planets. So each player right now has a colony on each of their planets, and the goal is to get five colonies on opposing players' planets to get five foreign colonies. Now we'll say blue's going to start the game, and what blue will do is blue will pick a card from the Destiny stack. Now the Destiny stack is going to have colors for each player in the game. So in this case, purple, blue, and red. There'll be wilds, which allow a player to select anyone they want to, and there'll be specials. Like here's a special that says, have an encounter with the player who has the most foreign colonies on the board. And so there's specials as well. So what'll happen is the blue player will pick a card from the Destiny deck, and Destiny says red. And so the blue player has to go and attack red. Now, here's the way this works. The blue player may pick any of red's five planets to attack, and will be attacking the red player there. If, for some reason, red has lost one of their planets and they're empty, blue may still choose to attack this planet. Red will still defend, but red will have zero ships with which to defend. But blue may make that choice. If purple has established a colony here on red's planet, blue may not choose to attack purple. Blue must attack red in red's system. That's something that's a little different from some of the other games. It's been interpreted in many different ways, but the rules are very clear in this version that when you attack someone, you pull a color, that person is the defender, and you attack one of their five planets, even if they have nothing there, and if there's nothing there, they're still the defender, and they have no ships with which to defend. So, We'll say blue is going to attack right here. Now, if they're all the same, it really doesn't matter which one you pick. Typically, you're going to pick one that's going to be easier to attack unless you have a really big card sitting in your hand and you want to wipe out some of their ships. So we'll say that we'll move the warp for now, just so it's not in the way. Blue's going to attack here. Now, here's the way a combat goes. First, blue will commit to that combat with how many people they're willing to attack with. They can attack with between 1 and 4 people. You can take them from anywhere you have a colony, so I might put it here. I might put out 4 people. So that's saying I'm coming in to attack you. You've got 4 there. I'm coming in with 4. Now, each player has a chance to ask the other players in the game, one by one, if they wish to be on an alliance. The offensive player gets to ask first, the defensive player asks second. You don't have to ask everyone, you can ask just one player. If someone's getting really close to winning, you may not want to ask them to come in with you, because allying with the offensive player is a way to actually get a colony there as well. So blue player may say, purple, do you want to join me? Red player may say, purple, do you want to join me? There may be chatting and negotiation and talking and promises. Nothing can change hands, but you can certainly make promises. And so let's say the purple player says, yeah, I'll join you, blue. Purple can pull between 1 and 4 people, again, from any colony they have, and join blue's side. And so we'll say, all right, I'm going to come in with 1. Now, if purple was going to help the defender, purple could do that as well. They'd put it here to the side to indicate they're not actually on the planet, but they're flying in to help. But we'll say purple's deciding they want to go in with the attacker, so they're going to join in. So at this point, blue has 5, red has 4. Now, each player is going to dip into their hand of cards and play a card. Play one of these encounter cards. Most of them have numbers. There's a 6, there's a 13. And so let's say each player picks a card, they put it face down, they then flip them up and total up and see who wins. So red played a 6, 6 plus the 4 he has is 10. Blue played a 13. 13 plus the 5 is 18. Therefore, the attacker wins. If it's a tie, the defender wins the ties. So what happens is that the losing side, they all go into the warp. Ah! And then the winners come down and party on the planet. Woohoo! Party on Red's planet! So if you help someone attack and win, the advantage is that you get to have a colony there, that your ships go on and get to land on the planet. That's the advantage for helping out the attacker. If you help out the defender and you win, then you don't get to put a colony there, but instead you either get to take a person out of the warp or you get to take a card. So if I come in and I help someone out, I bring in 4 of my ships and the defender wins, then as a defending ally, I could take 2 people out of the warp and 2 cards or 4 cards or whatever combination I want. So that's the reward that I get for helping out. If you're on the losing side as an ally, you also go into the warp. How do people come out of the warp? Well, one way is at the start of every player's turn, they get to take someone from the warp and put them on one of the colonies that they have on the board. So that's actually the first thing you do in the turn is if you have people here, you get to take someone out. So at this point, red has actually lost one of their 5 planets, and the blue and purple each have 1 of the 5 foreign colonies they need to win the game. Now, if you successfully attack, then you may choose to take a second attack. And again, you have to go to the destiny pile and you draw something. And so let's say I draw blue. And now blue is my own planet, my own system. So at this point, I can choose to draw again. Or if I had some people that had invaded and were sitting there on one of my planets, I could attack them. So if the red player on the red player's turn drew his own color, drew red, he could then choose to attack, say, the purple guy here in an attempt to get his home system back. And that's the one time that you can attack another player in your own system, as if you're trying to get a reestablishment of one of your bases. So you'd be attacking this purple. These blue guys are bystanders. Blue could be asked to join as an ally, either as an offensive or a defensive ally if they wish. But these people are considered to just be watching if blue chooses not to play along at all. Other things that can happen during the combat. One of the cards that can be played is a negotiate card. Now, the way negotiate works is you're basically saying, I give up. If I play negotiate, it means I'm not strong, I give up. So I lose. So in this case, if red had this massive force coming in on him, he might play negotiate, which means he gives up, he's not going to fight, all of his people die, but for each person that dies, he gets to draw a card from the hand of the primary attacker. So red might say, well, I'm going to die, I know that, but I'm going to get 4 cards out of the deal by playing a negotiate. Now, something fairly unpleasant that can happen is red might ask for allies. People come in and ally with them, and then red plays a negotiate card. If red does that, all of the allies die. And so that sets up a grudge for the rest of the game. So it's usually not good form if you're going to negotiate to ask allies to join you, because you know they're going to die, because then you'll have a hard time getting allies in the future. Now, another thing that could happen is both players play a negotiate card. If that happens, they decided to call off the attack. So the attackers go home, all the allies go home, and the two players have 1 minute to make a deal. Now, that deal has to involve an exchange between something. And so what that means is that either I might say, well, come over here and you can put a base on my planet and I'll put a base on one of your planets. Or I'll give you this card, you give me that card. You have to exchange something in order to have a successful negotiation, and you have 1 minute to do it. If you fail to make a deal, both players lose 3 ships to the warp. So that's the disadvantage of not dealing. If you successfully negotiate, it counts as a successful attack, and you may take a second attack if you haven't done so already. If you fail to negotiate, then it's an unsuccessful attack and you don't get a chance to do another one. A couple other types of cards that can come into play are reinforcements. Reinforcements you play after you've figured out the total. They can be played by either the main player or an ally in the challenge, and they're going to add a number to either side. So these are good to play at the last minute. You see you're really close, you can play this in order to take a victory when you didn't have one before. Another thing one of the players could play is a morph. There's only one of these in the deck. And what the morph card is, it makes your number equal to your opponent's number. And so it's going to turn it into just a ship versus ship battle plus reinforcements. So that's the way your turn goes. You get a person out of the warp if you have one, you draw a destiny card, you attack that color planet, you fly in 1 to 4 ships, you ask for allies, your opponent asks for allies, allies move in their ships as they wish. Each side plays 1 card, you flip over the cards, you reveal, you total, and you see who wins. All the people that lose go to the warp. The winners, if they're attacking, get to have a colony there. If they're defending, they protect their base, and defending allies get either cards or people out of the warp. So that's the basics of Cosmic Encounter. Now, let's get to the awesome. I mean, all the other stuff that makes the game interesting. So, the thing that made this game interesting, and this came out in 1977 with this, are variable player powers. So, in this version, there are 50 different powers. And so, what you'll do in the game is each player will get to have an alien power. And I talked about earlier how you pick those. So, you're going to have a power in front of you, and this is going to affect things in combat or getting cards. The virus is a really powerful power. It lets you multiply the number of ships times the card you play. So if someone's playing the virus, you really want to get them in situations where they have only 1 ship and you want to try and wipe them out quickly. The Macron is another tough one. Each one of your little ships is worth 4. The antimatter really messes with you. You have the ability before you reveal the cards to make the lower total win the battle rather than the higher total win the battle. So that's going to screw with you. You have the filch, where you can take the opponent's card they played during a combat into your hand. So there is all sorts of unusual stuff that goes on in the game, and these are what really change the flavor of the game. Each game you play, you're going to have one of these powers, and everyone's going to have one, and you've got to rethink, how do I play this game given these new rules? And that's what makes the game really interesting. And so this is a 30-year-old game design technology, but it stays true to this day and really keeps the game interesting. So whenever you do get people out of the warp, you can put them anywhere you have a colony. But something that they're clear about in this game, on your home base, if you've managed to be knocked off, and even if the planet's completely empty, if you choose to fly people off of there to go out on an attack, if you make it empty, it's not your colony anymore. You have to reattack that in order to put someone there. So if you clear one of your home planets from spaceships because they're out somewhere else attacking, you've lost that colony. And if you lose 3 of your colonies, then you lose your alien power. You have to reestablish some colonies in your home in order to get your alien power back. Now, I talked earlier about the flares. The flares are special cards. The flares have 2 colors. At the top is the wild, and the bottom is the super. And so the way it works is, if you get one of these during the game, then you can play the card, and you use the wild power. And many times the wild power is a version of that actual power that the person has. The superpower makes your power more powerful. So if you are the hacker and you get the hacker flare, you get to use the super version of the flare. And so that's great. when you play a flare, here's something else that's interesting. It goes back into your hand afterwards. And so once you play that flare, everyone's going to know that you have that ability to do that special thing. It's good for a surprise the first time, but then you have it in your hand for future turns. Now, the way you get more cards in the game is that whenever you have no encounter cards, i.e. no number cards and no negotiation cards, and you're forced to play one, either because you are starting your turn as an attacker or you have to defend, then you play or discard all of the rest of your cards and then draw your hand back up to 8. So while it sounds powerful that you get to put this flare back in your hand after you play it, in reality, you're going to run out of cards. And so at some point, you're going to have to discard it and get a new hand of 8 cards. And so that's how you get more cards in the game. Now let's talk about one of the optional rules, the technologies. So what'll happen is everyone will get a chance at the beginning of the game to get a technology. These technologies vary in cost and they vary in ability. The Omega Missile costs 8. And it says, once completed, you can discard this technology at the start of any player's turn to destroy a planet in that system and send all of those people to the warp. So that's pretty powerful. It's usable once, and then it's gone. And then you have little things. So this is costs only 3, warp space key. Once completed, you can discard this technology to free all of your ships from the warp, and they go home to any of your colonies. And so there's these varying costs and varying price. Now here's how you play them, is each player is going to start the game with 1. You're going to put it face down. And what you can choose to do during your turn is you can take one of your ships from any of your colonies and put it on top of your technology card. And so you can do this once per turn. You can add someone there. Once this has the number of people on it that's equal to its cost, you then send all these people home to their colonies, flip it over, and it's now in play. And so in some cards, you'll get to use again and again. Other cards are usable once, and they go away. But that's how you do it. So you have to, that one that allowed you to destroy another player's planet, well, it costs 8. You only have 20 troops, which means 8 of your 20 troops are sitting there on that card before it's going to be available for you to use. So that's going to cost you quite a bit. To get more technologies, you can choose to not do your second attack if you're eligible for it, but instead draw 1 technology for each foreign colony you have on the board. You'll then look at those, you'll pick one, and then put that one down in front of you. But again, no matter how many of those you have, each turn you're only going to be able to add 1 ship to 1 technology. So even if you have 3, you can only work on 1 per turn. Another type of card that can come into play are artifacts. These you get in your hand and you play them when it's shown on the bottom in the stages that are highlighted. And so here are some of the common ones. Cosmic Zap. When someone tries to use their alien power, you play this card and they can no longer use it that turn. And again, this only works on alien powers that have the word use bolded. Some alien powers don't have that word because it's something that happens all the time and that can't be zapped. Mobius Tubes. You get to free up the ships from the warp and they all come home. So during the game, you're going to flush the cosmic toilet and all the ships will push back home to colonies that you have. Emotion Control. Emotion Control makes both attacks turn into negotiate cards. So it turns it into a negotiation. All right, so now that you know a lot of things, let's go through a more complex encounter. So we'll assume that blue is playing the human. The human is mostly harmless, has the power of humanity. As the main player ally, after encounter cards are revealed, use this power to add 4 to your side's total. If the power is zapped, however, your side automatically wins the encounter. So we're going to say blue is the human, and red is the sorcerer, can switch played cards. The red is the power of magic. As a main player, after encounter cards are selected but before they are revealed, you may use this power to switch encounter cards with your opponent so that he reveals your card and you reveal his card. So when this is in the game, whenever you go up against the sorcerer, you have to try and guess, do I think that player is going to switch cards? If I do, I'm going to play something low. If I don't, I'm going to play something high. So it's always a gamble when you've got the sorcerer in the game. Now the stage is set. So it's Blue's turn. First thing he does is he gets a person out of the warp. He's going to put that on one of his colonies he already has. And then he's going to draw from the destiny pile to see who he attacks. And he drew red. What a surprise. And so he's got to attack one of these planets in the red galaxy. He's got to attack red. So he looks, and this one only has a single red. All the rest have more than one red. So he's going to come in and attack there. Now he has to commit. He's going to bring in up to 4 people, and he wants to get on there. So he's going to bring in 4 people. He's going to be strong. So now they both ask for allies. Blue may say, purple, you want to come ally with me and get a base? Red says, hey, purple, you want to come ally with me and get some people out of the warp? And purple says, no, I want to go for a base. So purple says, I'm going to commit. I'm going to bring in 4 here. All right, so now each side has to make a choice. They're going to put down a card. Now this is the point where the human's trying to figure out, you know, is the sorcerer playing a low card and is going to switch it with me? In which case, I want to play a low card. What do I want to do? And so they play the cards and everyone looks expectantly at the sorcerer. The sorcerer doesn't say anything, meaning he wants to play the card he's got. So the sorcerer has played a 15, which is pretty good. The human had played a 4. The human figured the sorcerer was going to switch cards. So that brings red's total to 16. That brings the human's total to 4, plus 4 for the purple allies, plus 4 for the blue, so that's 12. Plus, remember the human's ability, he adds another 4. So he's at 16. It's a tie. Ties are going to go to the defense. So what's going to happen? Well, at this point, the blue side is going to lose. But then blue plays a reinforcements, plus 3, which makes him have 3 more points. So that takes him to 19. To 16, so he's in the lead right now. The human chuckles, having won the encounter, has more, and the sorcerer then plays an emotion control. What that does is turns both of these into negotiate, so now they move into making a deal. Purple grumbles because purple has to go back home, he's not involved, and blue goes back home as well, and then red and blue can begin to make a deal about what they want to do. Now, sometimes, however, when you send an ally back home, when they were going to get something out of it, they may not be very happy, and so the purple comes in and plays quash, which kills the deal and creates a situation where the deal failed, so both red and blue now have to lose three people to the warp, and blue ends his turn because that's considered to be an unsuccessful encounter. And so that is Cosmic Encounter, and I think that's a good enough example to show you if it's something that you want to play. Well, that's Cosmic Encounter. And so it's a game I look forward to playing with new people, to introducing with new people. It's a game in the past when I've brought out one of my old versions to a game night, people always enjoy it and asking, hey, where can I get this game? Can I borrow this game? And now it's back out, and a big kudos to Fantasy Flight for releasing this. And I look forward to expansions if they make that a little larger. They put out some of the things that we used to have in some of the Cosmic games. It'll be interesting to see where they take this line, assuming that it's popular. I think they've done the series proud. They've done a good job with it. Now, if you've played Cosmic Encounter in the past and you didn't like it, well, you may still not like it. Even if you played the Avalon Hill one, it would give you a taste. The Fantasy Flight one has a lot more of what was in the game, many more alien powers. It's got the technologies. It's got a lot of that stuff going on that made it kind of wild and chaotic. So you've got to decide if that kind of thing's for you. But for me, I do like this game. It's fun, it's chaotic, it's light, it's nothing deep, but I like the interaction of the powers, and it's a game that I've enjoyed for a long time, will continue to do so. And I'd suggest you try some of the variants listed in the book. Trying a variant where people play with two different powers, trying a variant where people play with two powers and both of them are hidden, they're face down, and you only reveal them when you have to use them. That can make it really nerve-wracking when you go out to attack someone's planets for the first time and you don't know what their powers are. And so, great job, Fantasy Flight. Big thumbs up from me. And that's enough gushing. I will thank you for joining me here on Board Games with Scott, and I'll see you on another episode down the road. Take care. Bye-bye. Other games that the company did was a game called Darkover. Darkover is a combination party game and strategy game where it's a psychic combat game where you do things like write a phrase on a piece of paper and two players have to say the phrase looking at each other as quickly as possible without breaking concentration and do other silly things. Very unusual game. Hoax, which has been reprinted, is a game about taking roles and trying to figure out who the other players are sitting around the table by claiming roles and special powers. A little bit of Citadel's in this, actually, where you take a role with a special power. And so this has been reprinted, though. It's a very interesting bluffing style game. Quirks. Quirks is a game about evolution, and so you have critters, and those critters can evolve throughout the game. You can have plants and animals and things like that, and you'll see which critters can eat other critters. You're trying to create food chains and become the dominant critter in each of the areas. They also did runes. Runes is a word game, and it's a game where you're trying to guess other people's hidden words by playing sticks and curves, which are parts of letters. Like the capital A is made up with two sticks and a short stick. And so what I do is I put out one of these sticks in front of one of your letter spaces and say, is this stick in that letter? And you'd say yes or no. And so you'd have all the curves and sticks needed to make all the letters of the alphabet. And then another game they had that has a large following is called Borderlands. Borderlands is a battle game, and so I've played it a couple times. Not my cup of tea, but I know a lot of people really enjoy the game of Borderlands. But we're going to focus today on Cosmic Encounter. That was the game that they did.